Hello and welcome to the PB&J podcast. I am the PB in the equation, Patrick Butler. Joining me is the J in the equation, Jesse Hutmaker, all the way from New Orleans. How are you, Jesse?
I'm doing well. How about yourself? How did Easter treat you?
You know, I have to be honest with you, this is a weird Easter, but it was just fine. It was laid back, and I got to spend some time with my two older kids this evening, so that was a joy. But the other two were out of town due to some family incidents and unfortunate passing of a grandmother, so we're kind of splitting up this weekend and kind of made it weird. But you know what? It was a great day out. Got to walk the dog, hang out, and binge watch some TV.
I'm sorry to hear about the family issue. How are the old ones doing nowadays? Last time I remember conversing with them. Well, I mean, as an adult, you don't really get to converse with kids. But the last time I think I said hello, how you doing? I don't even think Sam was 10.
No, it's well, he's 15. Lily's 13, and you know, tonight kind of reminded me of something. You know, we got together. I split time with their mother, and that's just the way it is, and we got together, but those kids are with their phones constantly, and a couple things popped up tonight to really remind me of just where we're at with, you know, social media, and it dawned on me where they're at as young teenagers and where you and I are at as adults and how social media has changed and evolved. And I don't know, man, maybe we could kick off on that, because it's, I think this is my 11th year on Facebook, if that's what the reminder told me recently. And I think 5 or 6 on Instagram. I don't know how many on Twitter. But those are my 3 main active social media channels that I utilize. I know you use a couple of those as well, and if not all 3. And it just seems like it's changing and it keeps evolving. And it's, yeah.
I'm still on MySpace, too. You forgot. Yeah. Tom and I have some great conversations back and forth, you know. I keep thinking, you know, what's the next thing? You know, what is going to be the next thing? Because I know you like Instagram. Is Instagram owned by Facebook now, or I don't get it. I don't get that, and I don't get Snapchat. I don't understand either of them. I don't. I get the whole concept what it is, but I also, it makes me wonder, like, in this heightened paranoid society we live in, where we don't see, you know, kids like when we grew up out in the neighborhood playing, your parents yelling that it was, you know, when the second that street light came on and you weren't, you know, running in the house, they yelled at you. You know, you don't see kids outside playing anymore. You know, a lot of it's because the people are hyper vigilant about things. But at the same time, this is where I really struggle with it, is you know everything about everyone. Like, I know when friends are on vacation. I know where they're at on vacation. Hell, I know when they go to Trader Joe's and picked up the JoJo's for Christmas. I mean, I know all those things because they're telling it to me. I keep wondering, though, what's going to be next? Like, you know, Snapchat gives you that instant, the instant picture. Instagram, I think, is the same way, right? Isn't it all pictures? Is there any dialogue on there? I don't know. I think I've maybe made like 6 posts on there, and that's because I got yelled at from coworkers, so I posted a few things. So I don't know how those things. I don't understand it.
Well, if I look back at my usage, it started with Facebook, and to me, it was an easy way to connect with friends. And the way we did it, the things that we posted originally were statements, primarily about what we were doing. Photos and video were definitely not the norm at that time, and it was just more of a statement about what you're doing or you know, attempting to do, or a mood or a feeling. And then it evolved to adding photos and then later videos, and now it's memes and GIFs and what have you. So Facebook to me changed in the sense that it turned into just this video platform where you just share the hell out of everything, and people, you know, politically, you know, religiously, or just whatever, you know, their mood is towards an event, they start sharing. And to me, it started turning into a dumping ground. And I shifted a lot of my attention more over to Instagram. And I use two accounts on Instagram, one for professional use related to my work, and the other personal. And I keep the personal one private and the professional one public. And I like it simply because it turns into just a photo log, and you lose a lot of the political crap and just some of the garbage you see on Facebook all the time. And to me, I like it as more of a picture book or a document that truly documents where I'm at. Now, I don't go crazy to document everything. I just try to isolate instances. And now I've used it more for private messaging too. It's turned into a big thing. And now they do stories. Facebook and Instagram do stories, which is derived from the popularity of Snapchat. So they stole that thunder that Snapchat had, and they put stories on both of those platforms. I don't use Snapchat, but I see why a younger generation does, because it's disposable. You could save some of the images or videos, but most of them are just disposed. They erase after a certain amount of time, and I get why that generation likes it. But I do prefer to keep something, which is why I prefer Instagram. And to me, it's just simple. It's clean and simple, and it kind of cuts through the crap. And I guess that's the way I approach it.
No, yeah. I mean, I totally get it. I guess my struggle is, you know, we always are hearing about our privacy. And at the same time, we give all these companies complete control over the content we put on there. So we're pretty much saying, you know, you can have our privacy, but then we're concerned that there's been a privacy breach. That's my mental struggle.
Right.
And then also, like, I just feel like we've become a nation that is so, like, so self-absorbed. And, you know, I mean, I take a selfie, you know, here and there. You know, Beth and I like to take them when we're at, like, certain events. Just a quick one, as a monument of that time. And, you know, I like to take pictures when I see my friends. But I would be taking those with a regular camera too. You know, it's not like the cell phone has made me this person that needs to take a picture of me with my friends. It's, you know, it's given me that I don't have to wait for it to be processed. It's there. You know, unlike with a digital camera, you know, sometimes you have to upload it if you don't have the Bluetooth to automatically sync it. I struggle with how, as a society, we're so concerned about things, but yet we willingly give everything without being asked, you know?
Yeah, anyway. Absolutely.
Anyway.
No, it's funny to me, the whole privacy issue. I mean, there are certain things, obviously, from a financial point of view, you want to be safe with, but we have no problem telling anybody in the world where we're at any given moment and what we're doing, what we're eating, what we're buying, what we're attending, where we're headed, how we're headed there. I mean, we share everything, and it's this, to me, sometimes it's this effort to present your best self, your best life. I mean, those words get thrown around a lot, living your best life. And I think that people want to portray this fantastic image. And why wouldn't you? You wouldn't want to, you know, post yourself in a shitty mood all the time. However, it turns it to me, I call it fake book a lot, because
right.
you literally, everything is perfect. And when in fact it's not. And I found this article yesterday, come to think of it, of this woman. And to kind of twist things on Instagram, instead of a selfie, she took these shots at all these famous landmarks throughout the world, different countries. And I got to remember her name, but it was basically her name and dead so-and-so.
Yes, yes, yes. I saw that. That was great. That was great.
She wouldn't plan. And she says she doesn't plan it out. It's kind of spur of the moment, and they'll do it. And I believe it based on the way some of the other people are around her. But it looks like she's dead in every photo. And I think it's hilarious. I thought it was one of the funniest things I've seen.
Yeah. I used to work with a guy who had this. His thing was he would always set a shoe outside of his car and take a picture of it. And then take a picture of people like going up to the shoe and people pick it up, look at it, see a lot. I mean, the most common thing was what size it was, and nobody ever took it because they never saw the match to it. But he did that. And like he was doing that on Instagram, which is one of the reasons why I had to get on the damn thing. But it was pretty comical to flip through it and watch it. I mean, but it was also, we were sitting there, in our store watching it and seeing it take place. And yeah, those things are fun. I mean, I get that. I'm just, I Beth is totally disconnected. She's not on any social media. And I fully understand it, I personally I don't like all the crap on Facebook, but I like the fact that I'm able to interact with people on a more regular basis. A lot of people when they have kids, it's impossible to have an actual phone conversation with them, because they're either, kids crying, they got to feed the kid, it's time for the kid to go to bed. You got to take the kid to the sport event, that's fine. So Facebook is kind of a good way for me to catch up with them, or text messaging, whatever is the best or the preferred form of communication. But so what are your kids, Sam and Lily, is there some app or something that they're on that we need to be ready for, or where are we heading?
Well, they're still getting into it, and they use a couple different things, but honestly, they're on Instagram, Snapchat as well. But what's funny is the new app that has started to, a lot of my friends have started to take to, and they got me on. One of them in particular got me on, and at first we were the only two together connected on this, and now I've got a couple other friends have joined us, is Marco Polo. And my one friend got me on it because she said, oh, this app, it's really made things, really easy for me and my family and my friends, and you got to get this, and we'll communicate. And I was like, well, we already text, we're connected on Facebook and Instagram. Why do I need yet another app? But what Marco Polo is, it's a very simple premise. If you and I use the app together and we're connected, I would literally send you, when the screen opens up and I'm connecting to you and sending you a message, it's just like you and I are sitting here. You can see me, I can see you, and I send you a message, and it's recorded. It's basically a video message, and then you will have that on file, basically, and then you'll send me back a message. So instead of texting each other, or voice messaging each other, or even FaceTiming, it's an actual recorded message that goes back and forth. And at first I was like, I don't know. But the more I got into it, I found that it's really handy because I can deliver something verbally so much more quickly, and expand on it and send it. And then they can get back to me when they want to. And I'll be honest with you, that app has kind of grown on me a little bit because of the ease of use. So that was a different spin on something we've already been doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a brilliant concept, and I could see, like, for someone like yourself who either is, you know, working from home or working in the field, it's a lot easier than looking down at your phone. Like me, where I'm constantly, you know, having to face the public, it would be a little bit more difficult, but I could see that. Just quick, this is kind of a sidetrack, but this morning on CBS This Morning, what's her name? Williams, the one that just had a baby. Is that Serena?
I think that might be, yeah.
Yeah. Well, her husband, who was one of the co-founders of Reddit, was on, and I think it was on, or maybe it was on NBC Today this morning, whatever, one of those Sunday morning shows. And I guess he's kind of, I don't know if he founded or he's funding this app where this guy created, and it's basically designed for older people, senior citizens, or, you know, I'm not sure what the age is, but if they just need a friend or they need something done, you know, they just need somebody to talk to, they can reach out, and then people will come over and, you know, either do the chore for them or converse with them. I thought it was brilliant, because he was talking about the next big thing really is the seniors and their technology and the internet for them. So I mean, you know, that your kids are far from that, but just in talking about that, it made me think of that. So there's no cool crazy thing that we need to know about, or.
Well, if they're using it, they might not be telling me as well, to keep me off of it. But I do think here's the reverse effect of the technology gains that we've made. I've collected vinyl over the years, and you and I have talked about this, and you've helped me with this. I finally got a brand new turntable set up and receiver and speakers and just kind of got the system going after being inactive for a long time. And tonight, actually today, the kids were over, like I mentioned, and I said, "Hey guys, come here." And I showed them my setup and I said, "Hey, I'm going to, you know, put a record on and, you know, show you a little bit about this." And I put the album on, and suddenly the kids literally were watching me as I put the needle on the, record, and just watching as it played. And my daughter finally said, "How does it work?" and I had to take an album out and show her what vinyl was all about, and show her, you know, the grooves in the vinyl, and so she could understand what records did and some of the different speeds that they play at. And, you know, they both wanted to, they love the novelty of putting the needle onto the record, or the arm going up. My son wanted to play it in reverse, or speed it up. And I'm like, okay, it's not a toy. But it just dawned on me that I had grown up, you and I had grown up playing records and later cassettes and CDs. But my kids at this age, I had been out of it for so long and been playing CDs and then streaming or digital. I hadn't shown them that, and now here I am showing them that, and it just blew me away that they had no concept of how it even worked or what we were doing. It was just crazy. It was reverse technology, man. We took a step back, and it blew their mind.
Yeah, I mean, that's I think that if I look at all the things that are encouraging with the younger generation. It is their fascination with the things that you and I were told were obsolete, you know, vinyl, you know, with its resurgence, and in a sense, really saving so many mom and pop record stores, and now cassettes, you know, the fucking hipsters, they just, you know, it's just all about being, just trying to be ironic or separating themselves from everybody else. You know, so now the cassettes are making a comeback, which, you know, is cool. I'm all about the mixtape, but nobody else has cassette players. So,
right.
You know, hey, here's this really cool mix. I was listening to what you told me you liked, and I said, this is going to have a great flow. You know, it's going to start off strong. I'm going to carry that. It's going to kind of bring it down a little bit, and then bam, side two, we're right back at it. You know, they'll be like, what the fuck is a tape deck? I had a discussion the other day with someone. I was like, because at Record Store Day, I felt victim to of the cassette tape, because there was the Prince Versace tapes, excuse me. I had to get it, and at the record store I go to, one of the guys there is a huge Prince fan, and he's like, well, you know, on the bootleg, in the middle of every song, they say Versace. He's like, this is clean and clear. And I was like, son of a bitch. All right. You know, I got to have it now. So now I have to, you know, hook up my tape player, find a spot for that, and make it work. But anyway, one of the guys is like, a tape deck? You still have one of those? I was like, yeah, I do. And he just shook his head. He's like, it figures. I'm like, oh, God, yeah. But that's great that they were actually interested in the record player. And Sam wants to be a DJ now. That's awesome.
Well, it was funny. Someone in my company, I was having a conversation with them, and they just joined our company recently. We were just talking about music, and I said, well, you listen to a lot of music. Is there something you'd recommend, or, you know, can you get me something? And I was like, yeah, I'll put something together for you. And then later on, as I was kind of giving it some thought, it dawned on me. I'm like, how am I actually going to deliver this to them? When we talk about making a mixtape or a mix CD even, now is it just here's a USB drive.
Yeah, Or a playlist. Here's a Spotify playlist for you.
Spotify playlist, right. Yeah. It's just weird. Anyway, but I don't know. It keeps changing. I keep thinking we're going to get to the point where, what was it? What was that Tom Cruise movie, man? Set in the future.
Not Vanilla Sky, was it?
No, it's the one where he's like a detective or cop in the future. At any rate, so many of those sci-fi movies, it was one where they could open up those screens and be reading the paper digitally.
And they close it. What the hell is that called?
I'm like, we're getting to the point where all this information is converging and moving at such a rapid pace that I think it just continues to evolve and streamline. But at the essence of it, it's all about communication and how quickly we deliver that and receive it. And I don't know how much faster it can go, man.
Yeah, no, definitely. And with that, I mean, I believe tomorrow or the next day marks our third anniversary or second anniversary of the podcast?
I think so. I think it is three.
And I mean, I just think about the technology, how with our recording, even though we hit lots of hiccups these last few months in our lost sessions that someday when we're famous, we'll be able to put out for Technology Store Day, and it'll be the long lost episodes. But just how far it's come from what we were doing in our first few podcasts, and how we went through a few different providers, and how the ability to do things, how that's constantly evolving. I totally get it. I mean, you know, I admit I take advantage of technology. So I mean, there's lots of benefits for it, and it means just people get to listen to us more.
Absolutely. So that being said, my friend, let's shift gears. Let's go to the punch list, huh? Watching, reading, listening to, drinking, all the above. Let's start with you. Watching anything lately? Seen anything lately?
Well, today we went and saw, we decided since it was Easter, we would have our church service And we went, and at the theater near us, they're showing the Aretha Franklin Amazing Grace, the recording process of it. And for me, that album was my introduction to soul gospel, or gospel soul, whatever you want to call it. Gene and I listened to that CD all the time. Matter of fact, we may even have it on record too, but in Omaha. But I tell you, man, I got the shivers so many times. It got dusty in my aisle. It was just amazing. You know, with her passing, it also made it that much more powerful for me. But it was just unbelievable. So after that, so we got our dose of gospel music, and then we went and had a brunch at a converted church. Beautiful. It was a beautiful place. It was an old church, and I'm not sure if it didn't make it past Katrina or what, but it's now a restaurant, and it's beautiful. But anyway, so Aretha Franklin, Amazing Grace. That's the movie I saw. What have you been digging into?
Well, I said I was binge watching and taking advantage of some time downtime. And so mine's not going to be on that level by any stretch. However, it has been quite entertaining. It took me a long time to make the plunge and get into Game of Thrones, but since I had some time on my hands, I did so. And once you get deeper into season one and into season two and thereafter, it just picks up steam. And so that's highly addictive, and I'm binging heavily right now. So
nice.
Game of Thrones it is.
You know, I'm going to try to give that a shot, but the dragons, the flying dragons, I can't get past that, but I'll give it a shot. Well, what have you been reading?
Well, that's the funny part. I just thought about that for a moment, and I have to admit, the last couple of weeks I've literally been going so hard and heavy that I haven't really thrown a book in the bag, because of the activities and work-related activities I've been in have been so involved. So I'm kind of behind. And the most I've read, literally, as far as something tangible, has been Rolling Stone. And that was about it, the latest Rolling Stone. So I have to say, that's my light one this time, is reading. How about you?
Well, I started reading on a vacation. I started reading a book called The Game of Our Lives. It's the English Premier League and the Making of Modern Britain. And it goes back. It's really, really in-depth. And I'm really wanting to get to the end of it, but I find myself, since it's kind of a whole new thing for me, is I find myself going back and reading the pages again before I go forward, to make sure that I have I got it in my mind, because the writer doesn't make reference to things later, but he'll say like the Premier League fiasco of 1978, I just made that shit up. But, you know, having that back history and having that in my mind has really helped me with it. Plus, I've just, you know, my relationship with the NFL is done. And so I've switched my following to the EPL. So I've been reading that, and it's fascinating. It's fascinating read. It's a really good history of the sport in England and the teams as well. So that's what I've been reading. All 10 minutes later with that one. have you been listening to anything on these flights?
Yeah, I've been lately. I have to admit, this is not a shock but I've been diving in back into the national, and I've been listening to some of the newer songs in preparation for the record to come out here in, it's actually less than a month now. And so the national has been on the brain quite a bit. However, over the last week or so, and even in through last night, I've been listening to Tame Impala and getting ready for that new record and some of the new songs that he's put out. And I watched his set from Coachella last night, and it was great, man. I really like where he's heading and that band's heading together. And I just like the vibe of the last record and where some of the new songs are headed as well. So Tame Impala has definitely been on the mind.
Nice. You just reminded me I got to order the national. I've been listening to this band, the DeLines, and it's definitely Americana. I heard it on a snippet of it on a TV show and had to get it. And then now, being the completist, the first album is actually getting reissued on vinyl this week or next week. But it's a female singer, kind of has definitely like a Mazzy Star kind of voice. Nice. It's just nice. Really, really good band. I believe they're from Portland, Oregon. But I've been listening to that a lot lately. And lastly, what's been your drink of choice lately?
Well, you're going to like this. As over the last... into this week and into this weekend, I picked something up as the weather's shifting. And this weekend, it's definitely been all about the Abita Strawberry Lager. And,
nice.
That is a signal to me that the weather is changing and getting into some of that fruit. But I like the version that Abita makes. I mean, I think that Strawberry Lager is a pretty nice one.
Yeah, it's funny. That beer, though, also depends on the previous year's batch of strawberries. So it can vary in taste from year to year. So that's one of the things, like, it's good and it's bad because you always want it. But some years it's not going to have that kick that it had the previous year. That's a good one. If you ever see the... Straw Gator, you should get that one.
Nice.
But do not try to drink multiples of those. So on vacation, went out to Arizona and went to this bar in Jerome, and it was all Arizona breweries, and I did a little sampler, and I had this beer. It's from Mud Shark Brewery, and it was called Have a Blue Wheat. And Mud Shark is in Lake Havasu. And if we didn't have to drive back to our place, if like it was at the brewery that was right around the place we were staying, oh man, I would have been there all night, literally. I've been like, okay, well, they got food here, we're good. It was so nice. It had just a bit of sweetness on the end. Like, at first, it just tastes like a nice wheat beer, and then it hits you with a little dose of sweetness, but it was really, really nice. Mud Shark, Have a Blue Wheat was what I had.
Very good, very good. Now I'm fired up to have a beer. but anyway, all right. Well, listen, we have reached the end, and feels good to be back, and we will be back in session. Jesse and I have made a commitment to get things back in on a regular rotation. We're excited to do that. So we are going to wrap this up by saying thank you very much for joining us on the PB&J podcast. And Jesse, as always, it was great to catch up.
Most definitely.
And just remember, folks, that the PB&J podcast is a Find the River production, and we'll be catching you soon. Take care. Stay on social media.
Bye now.